May these words be illumined by the radiance of Christ's glory. Amen. Good morning. The other night, I went to bed just a bit worried about the scriptures for today. I had been reading them for a while, but there just wasn't anything coming to me. Where was I going with the sermon? What new thing could I pull out of this first of John's miracle stories that others hadn't already done dozens of times? Sometimes I get so overwhelmed by the immediate, I'm sure I'm the only one here that does that, that there's just not enough time to look ahead. Then, of course, when ahead is finally here, I am panicked by my lack of preparation. My concern was great enough that night that I forgot all the things for which I am thankful, all the blessings. I forgot to say my little short thank you as I laid my tired body down, and I fell into a tense, restless sleep. I can say that one thing I'm very thankful for is that God ignores my selfishness and gives me what I need even when I forget to ask for it. I'm also thankful that God speaks to me although I forget to listen. Sometimes it's the middle of the night when God can catch up to me and let me hear. So I woke up in the middle of the night with these words in my head. Do whatever he tells you. Do whatever he tells you. This was a command from Mary, an authoritative order. She commanded the servants to do whatever it was that Jesus might tell them to do. And she said it with the calm assurance that he was going to do something and that she had every right to have a command obeyed. As I was preparing for the reading and preparing for this sermon, I read a writer stated that Mary could be seen as impertinent. Expectant, yes. Assured, yes. Impertinent? Okay. It reminded me of that meme, "Nevertheless, she persisted." Woman, what concern is that to you and me? My hour has not yet come. I don't know how to read that little passage without inflection. Mary simply reported that the wine was gone. Jesus responds in a manner that seems both irritated and disrespectful. Mary ignores him and responds with an order for the servants. Do whatever he tells you. She wasn't bossy or rude. She was simply full of expectation. His first inclination seems to be to not be involved. Then suddenly, after Mary gives this order, he proceeds to tell them what to do, to tell the servants what to do with the water that's set aside for the rites of purification. Why the change? Because of Mary or in spite of her? She needs no sign. Granted, she had a little bit of insider information, but regardless, she respects Jesus to make a miracle happen. She ignores his words and tells his servant to get ready for the action. Would the miracle have taken place had Mary not acted? We could argue that Mary had signs much earlier than other people did. So it's simplistic to say that her belief is not dependent upon signs. She knows because she knows. She already knows what John is trying to convey, that Jesus' glory is full of grace and truth because he was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Through this miracle of changing the waters of purification into fine wine, Jesus reveals that glory and his disciples believed him. It took a sign for them. Mary didn't need a sign, yet she helped bring about that sign. This revelation of Jesus' glory contrasted with the law. Stone jars were used to hold the water for the rites of purification. Stone was thought to be pure. The water in the stone jars was running water and was considered pure. Therefore, it was called living waters. The rites of purification were an essential part of any religious ceremony. One must be free from uncleanliness before worshiping. Jesus had the servants draw out some of that living water and take it to the chief steward. Not only did the living water become wine, it became a good wine. Stone jars full of living water for purification with limited access to God equals the law. Living water turned into not only new but good wine equals Jesus' glory as means of access to God. This miracle is a sign of Jesus' authority to make a miracle happen, yet more, to substitute grace and truth for the restrictive authority of the law. John is showing us that Jesus is the replacement for the old religion. The miracle is the sign of the new reality of Jesus' presence. Mary knew this. Do whatever he tells you. He knew. She knew. What keeps us from knowing that? What keeps us from doing whatever he tells us? Well, of course, there's a lot of answers for that. There's a lot of things. We don't have time to listen. We think we already know. We're too busy, too tired, too concerned about the minutes of our busy day. We allow ourselves to stray, to be drawn away by the desire for more, or the desire to keep things the same, because we fear change most of all, I think. Jesus wasn't really concerned about the individual as much as he was about how that individual responded for the good of all. Paul tells the Corinthians, "To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." What this means is that each one of us is directly connected to God. To each of us has been given the gift of the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Each one of us has the ability for God to be visible through us, through our actions. To each one of us is given the ability to be good, to do good, to share the goodness for the good of the whole. Mary knew. Just do what he says. And what did Jesus say? He said, "You shall love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Jesus also said, "Do not be afraid. Do not worry. Come, follow me. Feed the hungry. Clothe the naked. Take care of the widow and the children. Visit the sick and those in prison. Ask, and you shall receive. Love one another." We all want signs. We all stray. And most times we seem to lack that authoritative knowledge that allows us to impertinently ignore those who are rude or irritated by our expectations and by our assurance. Yet we do know, just as Mary did. Just do what he says. Love, love, and then love some more. The signs will come. Maybe in the miracle of water turned to wine. Maybe as a voice in the night? Or maybe as a discarded blanket along the side of the building? Maybe as someone sitting in our midst just because it's a safe place to be? The signs are all around us. Just do what he says and we will see these. The poet Mary Oliver died this past week, and as I was reading some quotes from bits and pieces of her poems, I found the poem Praying, and I thought it fit. It doesn't have to be the blue iris. It could be weeds in a vacant lot or a few small stones. Just pay attention, then patch a few words together, and don't try to make them elaborate. This isn't a contest, but the doorway into thanks and a silence in which another voice may speak. The signs are there. We do know, just as Mary did. Amen.